1. The vision unfolding. An ever-advancing civilization. All men have been created to carry forward an ever-advancing civilization. The Almighty beareth me witness. To act like the beasts of the field is unworthy of man. Those virtues that befit his dignity are forbearance, mercy, compassion, and loving kindness towards all the peoples and kindreds of the earth. The progress of the world, the development of nations, the tranquility of peoples, and the peace of all who dwell on earth are among the principles and ordinances of God. Religion bestoweth upon man the most precious of all gifts, offereth the cup of prosperity, imparteth eternal life, and showereth imperishable benefits upon mankind. The religions of God are the true source of the spiritual and material perfections of man, and the fountainhead for all mankind of enlightenment and beneficial knowledge. The coming of age of the entire human race. For every era hath a spirit. The spirit of this illumined era lieth in the teachings of Baha'u'llah. For these lay the foundation of the oneness of the world of humanity and promulgate universal brotherhood. They are founded upon the unity of science and religion and upon investigation of truth. They uphold the principle that religion must be the cause of amity, union, and harmony among men. They establish the equality of both sexes and propound economic principles which are for the happiness of individuals. They diffuse universal education that every soul may as much as possible have a share of knowledge. They abrogate and nullify religious, racial, political, patriotic, and economic prejudices and the like. Those teachings that are scattered throughout the epistles and tablets are the cause of the illumination and the life of the world of humanity. In this day, means of communication have multiplied, and the five continents of the earth have virtually merged into one. And for everyone it is now easy to travel to any land, to associate and exchange views with its peoples, and to become familiar through publications with the conditions, the religious beliefs, and the thoughts of all men. In like manner, all the members of the human family, whether peoples or governments, cities or villages, have become increasingly interdependent. For none is self-sufficiency any longer possible, inasmuch as political ties unite all peoples and nations, and the bonds of trade and industry, of agriculture and education, are being strengthened every day. Hence, the unity of all mankind can in this day be achieved. Verily, this is none other but one of the wonders of this wondrous age, this glorious century. Of this, past ages have been deprived, for this century, the century of light, hath been endowed with unique and unprecedented glory, power, and illumination. Hence, the miraculous unfolding of a fresh marvel every day. Eventually, it will be seen how bright its candles will burn in the assemblage of man. Behold how its light is now dawning upon the world's darkened horizon. The first candle is unity in the political realm, the early glimmerings of which can now be discerned. The second candle is unity of thought in world undertakings, the consummation of which will ere long be witnessed. The third candle is unity in freedom, which will surely come to pass. The fourth candle is unity in religion, which is the cornerstone of the foundation itself, and which by the power of God will be revealed in all its splendor. The fifth candle is the unity of nations, a unity which in this century will be securely established, causing all the peoples of the world to regard themselves as citizens of one common fatherland. The sixth candle is unity of races, making of all that dwell on earth peoples and kindreds of one race. The seventh candle is unity of language, i.e. the choice of a universal tongue in which all peoples will be instructed and converse. Each and every one of these will inevitably come to pass, inasmuch as the power of the kingdom of God will aid and assist in their realization. The tabernacle of unity, Baha'u'llah proclaims in his message to all mankind, has been raised. Regard ye not one another as strangers. Of one tree are all ye the fruit, and of one bough the leaves. The world is but one country, and mankind its citizens. Let not a man glory in that he loves his country. Let him rather glory in this, that he loves his kind. Let there be no mistake. The principle of the oneness of mankind, the pivot round which all the teachings of Baha'u'llah revolve, is no mere outburst of ignorant emotionalism or an expression of vague and pious hope. Its appeal is not to be merely identified with a reawakening of the spirit of brotherhood and goodwill among men, nor does it aim solely at the fostering of harmonious cooperation among individual peoples and nations. Its implications are deeper, its claims greater than any which the prophets of old were allowed to advance. Its message is applicable not only to the individual, but concerns itself primarily with the nature of those essential relationships that must bind all the states and nations as members of one human family. It does not constitute merely the enunciation of an ideal, but stands inseparably associated with an institution adequate to embody its truth, demonstrate its validity, and perpetuate its influence. It implies an organic change in the structure of present-day society, a change such as the world has not yet experienced. It constitutes a challenge at once bold and universal to outworn shibboleths of national creeds, creeds that have had their day and which must, in the ordinary course of events, as shaped and controlled by Providence, give way to a new gospel, fundamentally different from and infinitely superior to what the world has already conceived. It calls for no less than the reconstruction and the demilitarization of the whole civilized world, a world organically unified in all the essential aspects of its life, its political machinery, its spiritual aspiration, its trade and finance, its script and language, and yet infinite in the diversity of the national characteristics of its federated units. It represents the consummation of human evolution, an evolution that has had its earliest beginnings in the birth of family life, its subsequent development in the achievement of tribal solidarity, leading in turn to the constitution of the city-state, and expanding later into the institution of independent and sovereign nations. The principle of the oneness of mankind, as proclaimed by Baha'u'llah, carries with it no more and no less than a solemn assertion that attainment to this final stage in this stupendous evolution is not only necessary, but inevitable, that its realization is fast approaching, and that nothing short of a power that is born of God can succeed in establishing it. The revelation of Baha'u'llah, whose supreme mission is none other but the achievement of this organic and spiritual unity of the whole body of nations, should, if we be faithful to its implications, be regarded as signalizing, through its advent, the coming of age of the entire human race. It should be viewed not merely as yet another spiritual revival in the ever-changing fortunes of mankind, not only as a further stage in a chain of progressive revelations, nor even as the culmination of one of a series of recurrent prophetic cycles, but rather as marking the last and highest stage in the stupendous evolution of man's collective life on this planet. The emergence of a world community, the consciousness of world citizenship, the founding of a world civilization and culture, all of which must synchronize with the initial stages in the unfoldment of the golden age of the Baha'i era, should by their very nature be regarded, as far as this planetary life is concerned, as the furthermost limits in the organization of human society, though man as an individual will, nay must indeed, as a result of such a consummation, continue indefinitely to progress and develop. That mystic, all-pervasive, yet indefinable change which we associate with the stage of maturity inevitable in the life of the individual and the development of the fruit must, if we would correctly apprehend the utterances of Baha'u'llah, have its counterpart in the evolution of the organization of human society. A similar stage must sooner or later be attained in the collective life of mankind, producing an even more striking phenomenon in world relations and endowing the whole human race with such potentialities of well-being as shall provide throughout the succeeding ages the chief incentive required for the eventual fulfillment of its high destiny. Such a stage of maturity in the process of human government must, for all time, if we would faithfully recognize the tremendous claim advanced by Baha'u'llah, remain identified with the revelation of which he was the bearer. The world civilization which will follow upon the Most Great Peace will unfold and evolve and gradually perfect itself during following dispensations. In other words, a world civilization and a world culture which will reach its ascendancy in the distant future and is something that will require many thousands of years to mature.